Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, if you have your Bible on you tonight, I want you to open it up. I want you to turn over to the Gospel of St. Mark. Let's go over to the Gospel of St. Mark, and I'm going to teach a little bit tonight. Excited about teaching a little bit tonight. I'm going to talk about vision and the power of vision tonight and kind of how vision grows in your life. And I've been seeing the vision of God come to pass here and seeing things grow and flourish. I know this weekend, they might have already talked about it, but we ministered to around 140 children here, helped them get ready for school this weekend. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap for that. Giving out backpacks, supplies, haircuts, being the hands and the feet in Jesus. And then Pastor Jordan was out in Amarillo, and he led a trip and a group to the park. That they have a truck that they perform off of, and they ministered to families out in the park, and they had multiple decisions. He's a soul-winning machine groomed in this house. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for the ministry gifts. Come out of this house, man. Stuff's happening all over the nation, and it's a lot of what's come out of this house, so I'm excited. Jesse was just talking about Lana. Ryan and Layla Thompson are there ministering with her every day. We're touching Owensboro. We're touching Amarillo. We're touching Thailand. Come on, we're touching the world. And all of that is through the power of vision. Nothing happens in the world or in the physical realm until somebody first sees it in the spiritual realm. See, things don't happen. They don't start out here. Doesn't start out here. Vision starts in here. And the Bible says where there is no vision, what happens to the people, church? They perish. Whenever you don't have something you're pushing for or something you're going to, what is vision? You don't have to make it super spiritual and spooky. You know, it's not like your eyes rolled back in your head, you fell into a trance, and you had a vision. That can happen, but really vision can just be what you see yourself doing. Everybody say, what I see myself doing. See, that's a personal vision, what you see yourself doing. A vision of a church is what we see the church doing in the future. Vision for my family is what I see my family doing. Come on, I have a vision for my children. I don't know if it's their vision yet, but it's going to be. And it's like this. It's what I see my children doing. It's the power of vision. And where somebody has no vision, life really doesn't go forward. As a matter of fact, some of the most visionless groups of people you'll ever go to typically have more problems than anybody else has. More destruction in the neighborhood than anybody else has. How many of y'all have ever lived life without vision? Come on, let me see you out there. Some of the darkest hours of life. But what God does and what Jesus can do is he can step right into your situation and he can open up your eyes and he can give you fresh vision. Amen. Look down here at Mark chapter 8. We're going to look at Mark chapter 8 and we're going to start reading in verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Whenever you get there tonight, go ahead and say, Mark 8, 22. This is Jesus praying for a blind man at Bethsaida. Here's what it says. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on them, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. So here's what happens. They're in Bethsaida. There's a blind man there. There's some people that need ministry for the blind man. And people are coming and they're begging Jesus to minister to this blind friend of theirs. Come on. We ought to go to Jesus on behalf of our friends. Somebody say amen to that. Be somebody that's a faithful friend. And I'll tell you what. Jesus responds to faith. And really, I think this is kind of a picture of the praying person bringing somebody to Jesus. Every time we pray in the morning and we pray for our lost loved ones, come on, we're making an opportunity for them to be brought to Jesus. Anytime you pray for somebody with sickness and believe God to touch their body, you're making an opportunity for that healing power to break forth. How many of y'all believe that our prayers, they change things? Come on, somebody. It's powerful like that. And so these guys are asking Jesus to touch this guy. And he says, sure, bring him here to me. And it's interesting what Jesus does. And I want this to be a biblical church. So I'm going to start praying the way Jesus prays. He calls him up. Blind guy comes up. First thing Jesus does is he spits. Come on. You know, some people get mad because you push on them a little bit when you pray for them. It's like, I've never spit in your eyes, you know. I might have got excited and pushed on you or something, but I never spat in your face. And he comes up to be ministered to by Jesus, and Jesus starts, you know, I wonder how long it takes for him to get prepared for that, right? He's getting ready. He takes spit. He rubs it in the guy's eyes. Now, I've seen people pray for people, kind of guys that sometimes even have more of a healing evangelist edge. They'll operate in a gift of faith or a working of miracles. And sometimes they just do strange stuff. And people want to make fun of the strange stuff they do. But come on, a lot of that strange stuff can be found in the Bible. You ever heard people make fun of guys that use prayer cloths? You know that's from the book of Acts? Now, I'm not talking about selling them on the TV. That's where it gets weird, right? But that's from the book of Acts. Jesus spat on a guy's eyes to pray for it. They do things like a guy wouldn't come. They call for a prophet to pray for a young child. He didn't come. He just sent his staff with him. Takes his staff and lays it on the child. Some of that stuff, it's all over the Word of God. So Jesus comes and he spits and then he lays hands on the guy's eyes. And he lays hands on the guy's eyes and then they step back to see what's happening. They ask him, what's going on now? Can you see? And how many of you think if Jesus laid hands on you, you would be whole absolutely first time? Didn't happen in Mark chapter 8, did it? It's interesting. I read this text, it always kind of stops me there. And so Jesus asks him, what's your results? How do you see? And the guy says, listen, I can see men. This guy probably could see earlier in life and lost his vision because he had some point of reference. He said, I see men as trees walking around. So he had some memory of what trees were, had some memory of what men look like, right? He must have lost his vision somewhere. And so he's saying, my vision's come back partially, but it's still cloudy. It's still not clear. And then Jesus says, well, let me pray for you a second time. Let me say this to you, church. It's all right. If you don't get a full answer to your prayer, you ought to just thank God in the partial right now and believe God to bring the rest of it to you in the forward, in the future. Just because it didn't happen today, come on, doesn't mean it's a no. How many of y'all believe that? A lot of people, they'll pray about something once, and when it doesn't fully happen, they'll say, well, it must not be God's will. Well, maybe you just shouldn't have quit so soon. Come on, somebody. Maybe you should have pushed in. You should have held on. You should have fought. You should have had a push theology. You ever heard a preacher preach about a push theology? It's a push theology, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Proclaim until something happens. Come on, knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Don't give up the first time it doesn't all go your way. Amen. You know, it depends on whether the people really want it or not, whether they keep asking for it, right? Like I preach and I'll minister to people to receive a prayer language and get a second experience with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you pray for people and they don't have a language in the Spirit immediately. And they'll come out and they'll say things like, well, I didn't get it. You prayed for me and it didn't happen. So it must not be the will of God. You ever heard anybody say something like that? It must not be God's will. Some people tell me, well, I got prayed for that in 1976 and it didn't happen. It must not be the will of God. I've had ladies say that. But then you can ask the same lady, it's like, hey, do you want a husband? Have you prayed for one? Did it happen? Did you give up and say it wasn't the will of God? No, they're still praying because they really want that, right? It's look at your neighbor and say, how bad do you want it? That's what it comes down to, right? You push until something happens. Proclaim until something happens. Come on, prophesy until something happens. And so the guy comes back and Jesus said, let's pray for you a second time. And he laid hands on him a second time. When he laid hands on him a second time, boom, he prays for him a second time. This time, lays hands on his eyes, and the guy comes back, and he's totally healed. He's put together. Come on. We ought not give up on the first try. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. Keep believing. Keep seeking. I'm telling you, God will do so many things if we will fight the fight of faith. Listen, faith is a fight. Here's how things happen in the kingdom of God typically. When you get blessing or you get answers or you get healing, things happen. Here's kind of the two ways that things like that have happened in my life. Number one, stuff just comes to you sometimes by the grace of God, falls on you, and you're so blessed. You didn't ask for it. You didn't pray for it. It just kind of happened. How many of y'all have ever had God just bless you out of the blue and you weren't really even a willing participant, but he's a good God? Amen? Sometimes stuff like that just happens. And I'll see people even get healed like that, and it's just, man, they weren't really moving in faith. They weren't even asking. A gift of God just came and touched them and did that. So it seems like people will just get this grace gift sometime, and it just happens. Things just happen to them. Boom, great job shows up. They weren't even looking for it, right? The right person to do life with just shows up. They weren't even really doing their part. Boom, there it is. Well, that's one way things happen. The other way typically things happen in life is the fight of faith. Everybody say the fight. It's where you got to contend for something. You got to fight and keep fighting. Stand and keep standing. You ask for it. You believe, you receive. You don't give up till you see the manifestation. So it seems to me that things come real easy, or things come, sometimes it'll feel real difficult. And it seems to be those two ways. A lot of things are answered in life. So this second time, the guy gets prayed for, and then he gets it. He had to contend a little bit. He had to stand there. And he's standing before Jesus, and he gets his sight. Here's kind of how I believe vision works. Just like this man received his healing and got physical sight, I believe that vision works the same way. That I believe that every time we come into the presence of Jesus, that our vision gets honed on and sharpened. And it's not a one-stop shop trip where your vision's going to be perfect on what God wants you for life. Come on, I believe that vision is a process. Somebody say it's a process. Let's say it again. Vision is a process. One more time. Vision is a process. A vision for your life is a process. And typically it starts whenever you're going to get born again, of seeing yourself. You have a vision to not go to hell, but to go to heaven. I got born again because I became very aware of the reality of hell and judgment on my life. I was raised in a church where they preached about heaven, they taught about hell, and I knew that I was far from God and I was probably going there someday. And all my other buddies would be having a big time partying at night, and I'd be thinking, man, if we die, we're all going to go to hell. How many of y'all ever had that kind of revelation in your life? You knew it, there was judgment. I would think, man, if Jesus is coming back, I'm going to hell when he comes back. And so that kind of thing started working in my life. And I began to have a vision of my future, my end, being in heaven and not hell. And that pushed me to be born again. And then when you get born again, you realize that there's a God that is sovereign over your life now. How many of y'all believe that Jesus really is our Lord? He's Lord. He wants to be Lord of all in my life. He wants to be the controller. And he has a vision and expected end for my life. And so then I start going to church and I start realizing if I call him Lord and I say he is my Savior, now I have to submit my life not unto my will but unto his will. So when you start praying things like not my will but thy will be done, you're saying, God, I don't just want it my way, I want it your way. So you show me what you want me to do with your life. And God started working on the vision I have for my life. It didn't all come at once. It was a process. Now remember, I began to feel after I got saved like, what I do is what I was called to do and what I was gifted to do. Felt like, man, I'm supposed to be a preacher. I think that's what I'm supposed to do with my life. Didn't happen in a day. It's a process. I think I'd see guys preach and I would think, man, I think I can do what he does. I think that's what I'm supposed to do. But I didn't want to tell anybody that. Y'all have heard the story because I hadn't been saved long enough to get the smell of marijuana out of my hair, and I couldn't tell anybody that I wanted to be a preacher. Now, I was sitting in a church one night, and it's an unwise way to pray, but there was a prophetic guy ministering that night, and I knew he was prophetic. He had the word of the Lord. He'd already told me that morning that I got up early, went to Walmart, and bought Armor All just out of the blue, and he knew it. And I was looking around for receipts that could have tipped him off because I thought he was conning me. Now, I was sitting there. He was ministering, and I prayed this prayer. And this has happened very few times in my life. I said, God, if you want me to be a preacher, have that guy stop preaching. Have him come down here and tell me tonight. God stopped preaching, came down, prophesied me into ministry. That was 20 years ago. Everything he said's come to pass to a tittle now. Come on, give God a hand clap. He's strong like that. That doesn't happen every day. But my vision, it was a process of vision getting stronger in my life. So I thought, man, I wanna travel, and I wanna be a preacher. I wanna be an evangelist. And then the Lord started speaking to me. Every time I came into the presence of Jesus, He would alter my vision. He said, no, you're not going to get to travel and preach, although I do some of that. My primary function, He told me, you're going to build churches. You're going to be a leader in the body of Christ and a pastor. And so I got connected with all of you wonderful people. Come on, best people in the country. I wouldn't even known you if I was an evangelist. If I was an evangelist, I'd be traveling around. I'd have one sermon. Some of y'all think they're the greatest preachers on the earth. What you didn't know is they preached that sermon the last 372 nights in a row. That's why it's so good whenever they preach, you know. It's 372 chances to get that thing right, amen? And God said, no, this is what you're going to do. And vision just keeps changing in life. Come on. The more exposure we have in the church, you want to find out God's plan for your life? You're not going to get it in a day. It's not going to come to you easy. It's not going to be a one-stop shop. It's going to keep changing. It's going to keep developing. Come on, we go from grace to grace, faith to faith, glory to glory, little by little. Every time we come into the presence of Jesus, our vision becomes more clear, just like the guy in the story. So right now on a Wednesday night, your vision is becoming more clear. What does Jesus want out of you? Well, He's talking to you right now. He's going to talk to you in the morning when you pray, and He's going to hone that vision. Come on, somebody say amen. How many of y'all want God's vision for your life? Let's give God a hand clap tonight. If you want God's vision, you want His plan. It is a process. Doesn't happen in one moment. Most of the kingdom of God is a process, isn't it? Most of the kingdom of God is seed, time, and harvest. Most of the kingdom of God is you start something and it grows. It's God's way. Most of the kingdom of God is one step after the other. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You grow like that. Things get better like that. Most people are waiting for some kind of big experience to pop them and to change everything in their life. That's not the way it works. You know, there's a prophecy in Isaiah, and some of you might have heard people preach this before. It says the yoke will be destroyed around people's lives because of the anointing. How many of you ever heard a preacher preach about that? The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. And they'll preach it like one of these days the power is going to fall on you. And when the power falls on you, you're going to get zapped and all of your bondages and problems are just going to fall off of you. But in the original language, it says this. It says the yoke will be destroyed. The yoke of bondage will be destroyed because of the fatness. So what it says in the original language. The yoke of bondage will be destroyed. Everybody say, because of the fatness. Huh? Yeah. Now, some of you have been trying to lose weight. Now you're going to grab a hold of that passage, right? You know, you're headed in the right direction. Come on, somebody, praise God. The yoke will be destroyed because of the fatness. What does that mean? It means there's a process of growing. What's a yoke? What was a yoke? A yoke is something you put around an animal to pull some sort of burden, right? A horse, a cow, oxen, it's a yoke. And so what God's saying is there's going to be such a rich presence of God in your life, it's going to cause you to grow. Little by little, bit by bit, as that process, you keep growing and growing and growing. Those old things of bondage, those old yokes won't even fit on you anymore in the future because you've gotten so big in the Spirit. And as you grow in the Spirit, come on, your vision begins to grow. You begin to think larger and see larger and to dream larger. And you're not chained by people's small thinking anymore because you know you serve a big God. And a big God has a big vision, a big world to reach, something big to be done with your life. And the small things won't even fit on you anymore. So you got to learn to let things like that expand your vision. So when I like to be at church, I like to be around faith people. They expand my vision. I can think of the times where I've literally sat and I've been in the presence of other great Christian people. My vision's just been expanded. Almost, I can feel myself getting bigger in that environment on the inside. And then I've been in environments before where I could feel myself getting smaller in the environment. You ever been in an environment you're like, man, this is killing me in here right now? You just know it, right? If I keep doing this, I keep coming back, I will never go forward in life. You know that. I remember, it's years and years ago. I preached this out in Texas on Sunday morning, but I was talking about it. I was coming out of, like, addiction. I got born again, and I got connected out in Texas. Jesse's dad, Pastor David, was starting to speak into my life. I was with him like 2 weeks in Texas, and I went home to get some stuff and to figure out what I was going to do, if I was going to move out there or not. Years ago, I'm like a 21-year-old kid. Now, I went home one night, and I went to see my old friends before I was going to leave town. Look at your neighbor and just say, bad idea. Just tell them that, huh? Some of those people, right? You get around them, your life's going to get smaller. So I went over to see them. And they were out there. I had all kinds of addictions flowing in my life. They were drinking the old red Budweisers when I got there, you know, the big Bud Heavies. I want to die young, those kind of beers. And so I'm looking at them, and I'm like, man, I'm thirsty, and that beer looks real good. And so I'm like, well, at the time, I'm like, I can have one. You know, every addict tells himself that when he's bound by something at the time. Because it was all, my problem was everything, you know, back then. And so I had one of them, and then, you know, I had too many of them, and I started getting stoned with them. I got wired with them that night. And I woke up the next day, and I was so convicted. Spirit of God was living in me then, right? How many know that kind of thing grieves the Spirit of God when you're a part of it? Anything really that's sin, when we do it, it grieves the Spirit of God. Amen? And if you can start to sin and it not grieve you, you ought to be concerned. Amen? And so I'm grieved, and I wake up that morning, and I realize, I just kind of had this epiphany. It's like, if I keep going back with these people with this small vision, small life, this thing, I'm never going to be anybody. I'm never going to have anything. Life is not going to go forward. It's going to go backward. And I went over to tell one of my old running mates that I was leaving town. I shouldn't have done it, but we were tighter than the rest of the crew, and it was early in the day, so I thought I was safe. And I went over to tell him, listen, I'm leaving. I walked into his house. I saw him there, and I kind of talked to him for a moment. I said, listen, I got to tell you something. I got messed up last night, and I can't live like that. I don't want to live like that anymore. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go out to Texas away from everybody where I can get sober. I'm going to go to church. I've given my life to Jesus. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to get my life clean, and one of these days, I'm going to help somebody. The guy looked back at me, and he laughed out loud. And he said, Gibson, you're never going to get clean. You're going to die a junkie. When he said it, I just kind of looked back at him, and I said, we'll see about that. And I walked out of the door of that house, and 20 years later, I've never been back through the doorway of that house. Come on, somebody. There's some doorways you got to walk out of. And you got to close some small doors so some big doors can open up in your life. Now, I'm telling you, these days I'm walking into better kinds of houses. But that doesn't happen unless you walk away from this kind of place, right? You got to walk away from something to walk into something. Typically, Christ, the way it works is he saves you from something to send you into something. And that he does it through the power of vision. So you cast off the small so you can walk into something larger. It's a process, and it keeps going. And here's how the process works, man. You get around people, and it grows. You listen to somebody, it grows. You see people doing what you want to do, it grows. And I think we ought to feed ourselves with people that feed our vision. You know, there's a famous scripture. It's in Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. And it says this, you ought to write it down. Only got 6 minutes, but write that down. You ought to study that tonight when you go home or in the morning tomorrow. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, very famous scripture. It says, write the vision and make it plain. Everybody say, write the vision. Let's say it again, write the vision. It says, write the vision and make it plain that the people may run with it who hear it. Write the vision. So here's what God wants to do. He's given you a vision of some kind for your life right now. I believe all of us have this as a vision. We ought to all have this as a vision that we want to become more like Jesus. Amen? We want to live according to the word of the New Testament. Somebody say amen to that. That'll keep us busy 99% of the time, right? The other 1% of the stuff can work its way out. So think about what it is that you want to do with your life. How do I want my life to look? What's the expected end of my life? Write the vision and make it plain. You know, Jesse and I, one time we were listening to a guy preach about vision. We're sitting on the front porch. I was listening to a friend of mine. I like to listen to something that feeds my spirit. He was preaching about vision. And we were talking about the things we wanted to do in the future with our life. And Jesse gets inspired. She turns around. She looks at me. She said, what do we want to get done? And I started listing off the things we wanted to get done. And she said, you know, Brian, there's a black can of paint out there in the garage. We ought to go get that black can of paint, and we ought to paint on our bedroom wall what the vision is we have for our life. So we go into our nicely painted bedroom, and we take a black pan of paint and an old paintbrush, and we start slopping what we want to do on our wall. It kind of looked like you know, somebody vandalized our home by the time we were done. It's like, that's going to cost $1,000 to fix. I'm looking at it while we're doing it. But come on, it's worth the investment if something like that. I like to get up in the morning and see what I'm believing God for. Go to bed at night, seeing what you're believing God for. Write the vision and make it plain. Having that thing written down, make it a part of your life, a vision statement. Has anybody out there ever done something like this, or you live like this, or it's been a while since you've done this and you need to return to this? Come on, somebody. You write it down. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? What do I want to be? If it's I want to pay off my house, boom, you write it down. I want our household to be a place of peace and not a strife. You ought to write it down. Come on, somebody. I want to finish my college degree. You ought to write it down. Want to get another job making this amount of money? Write it down. I want to witness to 4 people a week. Sounds like a pretty good vision, doesn't it? Yeah. Write it down. Want to invite 7 people to church tomorrow before I go to bed. I'm pitching now, right now. Is anybody catching out there? Huh? Come on, help me grow this church. Look at your neighbor and say, write it down, huh? Yeah. You write the vision, you make it plain. 7 people by the time the sun goes down tomorrow. I think you got it in you. You can do it. But you write the vision, you make it plain. It's got to be plain. For something to be powerful in your life, it has to be portable. It means you got to be able to pick it up and take it with you, right? Remember it. To be powerful, it has to be portable. You write it down, you make it plain. Why? So you can run with it every day of your life. Come on, God wants us to be a church full of vision, a people full of vision. We're not the people waiting for somebody else to move. We're the people moving the world. Somebody say amen. Would you stand up on your feet? Give God a hand clap tonight. Come on, I'm done teaching. Let's give him one more big hand clap for everything he's done. We're going to write the vision, make it plain. People can run with it in our life. Just close your eyes right where you are. I'm going to pray for you, pray over you tonight. And God's going to do something big. And then if you go out, hang out a little bit after the service, talk to somebody. There's a truck out there for food. And if you're hungry, get something to eat. If not, just hang out in fellowship. But I want to pray that God would sharpen your vision. Lead us through a process. Take us just a little bit closer tonight. And then Jesse's coming with just a couple of things to close the service. Come on, let's pray. If you're comfortable with it, you ought to lift a hand to heaven tonight. It's Wednesday night. It's the home team. Let's lift up a hand to heaven. Come on, it says men everywhere ought to lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. Father, right now we just pray and we declare and we decree that the people of God under the sound of our voice, they're people of vision. Lord, we say that this church is a church of vision. Father, we thank you that you lead us in a process and you expand our vision. You grow us on the inside. And when you grow us on the inside, you begin to grow our lives on the outside. So, Father, I thank you that you grow every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, you lead them and guide them. You take them and make them 1,000 times more. Father, I declare they're people of great vision. They don't just see, they have vision. We declare it in the name of Jesus. Now, right now, I pray for people that it's like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's next. I pray, Father, that any blinder of the enemy would fall off of their eyes now in the name of Jesus. I say blinders are falling off of your eyes now in the name of Jesus. You're going to begin to see just as Elisha opened up the eyes of his servant. I declare your eyes are opening up to see the goodness and the grace and the glory of God. Little by little, bit by bit, piece by piece, your vision is expanding. I declare expansive vision in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
amen. Amen. That's awesome.